Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour, last half hour of today's show here on this Monday, December 29th, 2025 edition. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Text line is open, 231-360-5140. If you'd like to get a comment into the show, Rod Wheeler says, good thing for independent research and reporting. Yes, sir, absolutely appreciate that. One thing that I think that needs to be looked at, and it's kind of interesting because they, for some reason, I don't think they totally get it. This story updated late last night comes to us from the Epoch Times. Iranian president says that his country of Iran is in a full-fledged war with the United States, Europe, and Israel. Kind of interesting that he would come out with that statement right before Bibi Netanyahu visits with President Trump today. Well, the initial remarks made by the Iranian president December 27th said that the Iranian regime is in a full-scale war with the United States, Europe, and Israel. Months after his country's nuclear facilities were bombed during a 12-day-long aerial war, beginning with Israel's attacks, followed by the major attack that was performed by the United States military. During an interview released on a website of the country's leader, that the war is worse than the Iranian conflict with Iraq that then began when Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein invaded Iran back in 1980. That particular invasion lasted throughout the decade of the 80s. And in my opinion, we are now in a full-fledged war with America, Israel, and Europe. They do not want our country to stand on its own feet. This war is worse than Iraq's war against us. And if one understands it well, this war is far more complex and difficult than that war. President went on to say that during the 1980 to 1988 war with Iraq, there was more than 1 million casualties on both sides. It also included reports of chemical weapons and gas attacks. Well, the United States and Israel militaries both launched strikes on Iran nuclear facilities and other areas during a two-week-long conflict back in June. Iran launched a barrage of missiles at Israel and also at the United States Air Base in Qatar. Well, the Trump administration and Israeli officials have long said that the Iranian regime is seeking to manufacture nuclear weapons and long-range missiles to be able to deliver its nuclear program. In mid-November, the Iranian foreign minister said that Tehran is no longer enriching uranium at any site in the country, which was the most direct response yet from the Iranian government regarding its nuclear program following the June bombing that was done at their enrichment site. Foreign Minister went on to say, there is no undeclared nuclear enrichment in Iran. All our facilities are now under the safeguards and monitoring of the International Atomic Energy Agency, and there is no enrichment right now because our facilities all have been attacked and destroyed. Again, this is their own Iranian foreign minister admitting to this. This isn't Donald Trump saying it. It's Iran saying it. Finally, the minister reiterated that Iran's long-term narrative that its nuclear program is for peaceful purposes, the United States, Israel, and the UK have all refuted those claims. The UN's nuclear watchdog, International Atomic Energy Agency, has long said that Iran has displayed a lack of transparency around its nuclear programs and restricted international inspectors from monitoring Iran's facilities. We have a right, and we continue to exercise that right, and we hope that the international community, including the United States, will recognize our rights and understand that this is an inalienable right of Iran, and we will never give up our rights. Well, Iran's nuclear chief, Mohammad Islami, recently prohibited officials from the International Atomic Energy Association from inspecting the bombed nuclear facilities. He was quoted by the state-run media that on December 24th, that the inspections will not happen because the IAEA did not establish any guidelines for conducting said inspections. So therefore, they weren't going to let them in. So continuing to watch that situation as well. Lastly, another little short story that will go into effect here on New Year's Day, Thursday, January 1st, 2026. More than one-third of all the states in the United States will start prohibiting the purchase of certain foods regarding SNAP users. Story goes on to say Americans using the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP, to purchase groceries may need to adjust their shopping habits next year in 2026, as some states will now start to prohibit the use of SNAP funds to purchase certain, quote, junk foods. Starting next year, states will have to shoulder a larger portion of the cost of running these programs. Money is being cut back from Washington, and now it's up to the states to cover these costs. Restrictions on the purchases in some states will include the restriction of certain foods lacking nutritional value. Changes are being made under the banner of Make America Healthy Again initiative launched by the Department of Health and Human Services. To institute the changes, the states had to submit and have approved a waiver of federal rules from the Department of Agriculture that oversees the nutritional program. States that are now going to implement these restrictions starting New Year's Day: Idaho, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Colorado, Texas, Virginia, and Florida. Other states that will start implementing these changes will start taking place in February to April. Arkansas, Tennessee, Hawaii, South Carolina, North Dakota, and Missouri will begin their bans later in the year. Most of these states are removing candy, soda, energy drinks, and potato chips. Thought that was interesting. In Tennessee and Iowa, the SNAP beneficiaries cannot use the funds to purchase processed foods, prepared desserts, cakes, and cookies will be restricted in Florida and Missouri. In Iowa, foods that are prepared for consumption or come with eating utensils will not be able to be purchased. For example, cold, unpackaged foods with utensils will be banned. Foods without utensils, such as bread, fruit, and canned goods, will all still be permitted. Michigan doesn't appear to be on the list. Kind of interesting. And if you look at the map, majority of these states that are implementing the changes, they're all Republican governors. Democrat governors, with the exception of, I believe, Colorado, appears to be on this map. So, kind of interesting. Final comment from the administration. Agricultural Secretary Brooke Rollins said these are bold and historic steps to reverse the chronic disease epidemic we have here in the United States. We are restoring SNAP to its original true purpose, which was nutrition. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy said, "We cannot continue a system that forces taxpayers to fund programs that make people sick and then pay a second time to treat the illnesses that were created by the foods they were consuming. That doesn't make sense, and we're going to stop it." So, very interesting story, and people on SNAP benefits outside of the state of Michigan now will be restricted as to what they can purchase. Let's see. Do I have time for that? Nope. I got a wrap-up story here from Michigan. We'll get to that. Just came out across the news update at 11:30 to the radio station. We'll wrap it up with that one here on the other side. Final segment of today's show. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. Our Second Amendment rights are under attack, and as Attorney General, I'll make constitutional carry a reality and defend your Second Amendment freedoms. No more permits for law-abiding citizens to exercise the rights and protect their families. I've stood up for liberty. Now stand with me to make Michigan red again. Endorse me at the March Convention and safeguard our Constitution. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Lansing and Michigan needs to be fixed. Axe My Tax is a citizens' ballot initiative that would eliminate all property taxes in Michigan. Stop the theft of our homes, farms, and businesses by corrupt governmental entities and their outrageous spending. Help us make Michigan affordable to businesses and families once again. Go to axemytax.org, sign the petition, circulate petitions, and donate to help us fix our great state. Stop the stealing that's going on in Lansing. Join us. Go to axemytax.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Final segment of today. I just got a news alert on a recent poll to end the year here, 2025. This is U.S. Senate races, races that are coming up next year, 2026. Well, according to this report, 8 races for U.S. Senate control are going to be watched. Maine, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Georgia, Texas, Nebraska, Ohio, and Michigan. Out of the top 8 races, Michigan's race comes in number 4. Now, the first race that's going to be the most contentious is going to be the state of Texas. Both the Democrats and Republican primaries are going to have very intense contests. On the Republican side, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is running to replace the incumbent Senator John Cornyn. Thank you, God, he's finally retiring. We're getting rid of that rhino from Texas. Well, Paxton entered the race earlier this year carrying baggage from controversies, including a 2023 impeachment trial in which he was ultimately acquitted by the Texas Senate. The race has been labeled by Paxton as a contest between the populist American First politics and the establishment politics, which he claims Cornyn represented. Cornyn described the race as a question of character, referencing Paxton's impeachment, allegations of adultery, and legal challenges faced by his challenger. Well, most observers in Texas are looking at the other candidates. Representative Wesley Hunt has also thrown his hat into the ring that will set up a 3-way primary that will cause a runoff. So we'll see where that goes and continue to follow that story. Now, Trump has not yet made an endorsement in that particular race. Meanwhile, on the Democrat side, they too have numerous candidates running. The biggest shocker was U.S. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, who entered the race on October 8th. So we'll see where that goes and keep our eye on the state of Texas. Georgia, very interesting race going on there. Senator Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff needing to look at runoff elections and has a field of Democrats trying to keep that seat Democrat. On the Republican side, Mike Collins Representative Buddy Carter and former football coach Derek Dooley. Outgoing Georgia Governor Brian Kemp has endorsed Dooley, the football coach. However, Collins currently leads the GOP field by 10 points, according to Real Clear Politics. Maine, very interesting. It is going to be a very interesting race because the Democrats have targeted Collins' seat. She was reelected in 2020 with just 51% of the vote, fending off a Democratic challenger, Sarah Gideon, who got 42.4%. However, two major Democratic contenders are seeking the nomination, and they will be spending a lot of money in that primary race. Then we come to Michigan. Michigan Republicans hope to capitalize on incumbent Senator Gary Peters' retirement to pick up the seat in the state that has become a battleground state. Former Congressman Mike Rogers, the presumptive Republican nominee this year, lost the 2024 election to Senator Lisa Slotkin by just 0.3% of the popular vote. President Trump has once again endorsed Rogers already in the race this year. However, on the Democrat side, very competitive. U.S. Congresswoman Haley Stevens, Michigan State Senator Mallory McMorrow, and physician Abdul El Sayed have all thrown their hats into the ring. Well, right now, according to Real Clear Politics, Stevens has a narrow lead in the primary. However, that primary taking place on August 4th, 2026, will pick the candidate. But according also to the Real Clear Politics poll, Rogers will defeat any of the three Democrat candidates in the November election. So, end of the year polling report coming out. Evidently, good news for Republicans to take back that U.S. Senate seat. So we'll see and continue to watch that as well. That's it for today's show. Now back to the memories caused by the music of the 60s, 70s, Motown, the Roots of Rock and Roll on 97.7 FM, WCHY Sheboygan, and the Patriot Voice Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a blessed day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with trucker Randy Bishop.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make North